was blinded, you gave me eyes to see. I was going under, you reached out to me. No, there's nothing you won't do to pick me up and pull me through. Every hour, 8 days a week, yeah. Your love is like a fountain. It'll never run dry. It'll never run dry. Your love is moving mountains. Every day of my life. Every day of my life. Can I get a witness?
I will sing forever of your love, come down. With my hands to heaven, shout your praises loud. I was lost in darkness when you pulled me out. I will sing forever of your love, come down. Oh, 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 oh. Rescue me, Jesus, Jesus, rescue me. I will sing forever of your love come down. With my hands to heaven, shout your praises loud. I was lost in darkness when you pulled me out. I will sing forever of your love come down. Well, there's a home beyond the sky. A song we'll sing for all of time. The great is empty, I am free. Jesus, Jesus, rescue me. Yeah, Jesus, Jesus, rescue me. I will sing forever of your love come down. With my hands to heaven, shout your praises loud. I was lost in darkness when you pulled me out. I will sing forever of your love come down. I will sing forever of your love come down. With my hands to heaven, shout your praises high. I was lost in darkness when you pulled me out. I will sing forever of your love come down. I will sing forever of your love come down. Oh, 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 oh.
Praises roar up from the ashes. Hope will. King is alive.
I raise a hallelujah. I raise a hallelujah. I raise a hallelujah. I raise a
beautiful day in the neighborhood, a beautiful day for a neighbor. Would you be mine? Would you be mine? It's a neighborly day in this beauty. What a neighborly day for a beauty. Would you be mine? Could you be mine? I have always wanted to have a neighbor just like you. I've always wanted to live in a neighborhood with you. So let's make the most of this beautiful day.
Well, good morning, neighbor. Isn't it a beautiful day in this neighborhood? We're glad you're here. I'm Tom Carver, the senior pastor here at the Asbury Church, and what a joy to have our youth praise band lead us in worship this morning. Thank you. Yes. Pastor Heather Doerr and I have been leading the church the last 5 weeks, a series about following Jesus with Mr. Rogers. And this is our final week of that series, and we're thinking about specifically how we uphold our discipleship as our prayers, presence, gift, service, and witness. Today we're talking about witness and how we can look to Mr. Rogers as an example of our witness. So with that, we're glad you're here. I'd invite you, or let's see, the ushers will have some attendance registration pads. They'll pass them out in a bit. But I invite you to turn to one another, greet one another, share signs of God's love and peace.
Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
Wonderful. Sometimes I think I kind of like surprise you guys when I say good morning and you're not ready to respond. But I got you the second time. I'm Pastor Heather Doerr, and it's great to see all of you in our neighborhood this morning. I think Pastor Tom and I are both really going to miss Mr. Rogers, but I'm excited. If you can go to our second announcement slide, next week we are traveling with somebody that's perhaps the opposite of Mr. Rogers, Ebenezer Scrooge. So we begin our Advent sermon series with the redemption of Scrooge. It'll be a four-week series using the Reverend Matt Rawls' book, The Redemption of Scrooge. And you'll want to grab a copy of the book on your way out the door this morning so you can start reading it and join with a small group. There's two different flyers that you'll see next to the books. One will tell you about the different small groups that will be meeting throughout the next month to talk about the redemption of Scrooge. And then the other one is well, it's got actually a different cover image, but the other one was made in-house as a Advent candle lighting guide. So if you have Advent candles that you like to light as a family, this will take out the themes that we will be doing for the Redemption of Scrooge and allow you to have a conversation, reflection, or also with small children, things to talk about. And there's coloring sheets, too, if you got small children, or if you like to color, too. That's fine as an adult. So make sure that you grab a copy of The Redemption of Scrooge, join a small group. There's a DVD component that goes along with the study. And next week, Patrick Malloy will be joining us in worship to preach the first week, which is all about you reap what you sow, and Ebenezer Scrooge. And then the other 3 weeks will be the past, present, and future. If you don't remember A Christmas Carol, you might want to turn on the Hallmark Channel and find one of the many, many stories of Ebenezer Scrooge, or pick out your favorite. I like A Muppet Christmas Carol myself. I think that's the best one. All right, the other thing that I wanted to lift up today is our first announcement slide, which is that there's a lot of things going on today. We'll be having the hanging of the greens at 1:30 this afternoon. And so how many of you have already decorated for Christmas? How many of you are itching to do so, or you need to do more decorations? Come back at 1:30. Help us decorate the church for Advent and for Christmas. And later on in the Advent season, as we get close to Christmas Eve, we'll be setting out poinsettia plants and decorating the altar with those. And so if you would like to order one of those plants in the memory of someone, or to honor somebody, that $10 and your order form is due tomorrow. They just extended the deadline. So get it in today while you're still here, or tomorrow, and help make the church beautiful for Christmas Eve. And then you could take that poinsettia plant home with you, or give it to somebody that you love after Christmas. Another thing I wanted to lift up is that Starry Night is happening in 2 weeks. We're only 2 weeks out. If you are not involved and you would like to be involved, of course you can. Linda Carver is right here, and she will give you a job if you tell her that you're interested. We'll be doing setup the day before on the 7th in the morning. And if you are guiding people through the building for Starry Night, if you are acting throughout the interactive storytelling part, or helping children with crafts in the marketplace, you're going to need a costume. And so I'd invite you after worship today to make your way to this coat closet over here behind the elevator and get try on a costume, find one that fits you okay. Just maybe not just right, but find a costume that fits you well, that goes in with the theme, and you'll look great for all the kids coming through the building in 2 weeks to experience the Christmas story. So those are the things that I wanted to lift up. There's a lot going on as we're going into December and the Christmas season. I'd like to invite Debbie to come forward and tell us about yesterday's pie sale and how that went. And we're going to auction off an Uber pie as well that will go towards a special mission here at the church this year.
Good morning. Debbie Stelk, and I have had the pleasure with my husband of chairing the pie sale for many years, and we had our annual one yesterday. We were busy, busy, busy making 170 pies, and we have 3 pies left, I think. If anybody would like to get one, you can go downstairs after church and leave the money in the church office. Tom and I are going to be going out of town, so we won't be able to be there to get that money. We sold 170 pies, and I know that there are a few volunteers from yesterday. We had quite a crowd of volunteers this morning. If you volunteered to help yesterday at the pie sale, please stand up. We'd like to say thank you. Come on. My husband Tom will be passing around, shouldn't say passing, he'll be showing you the Uber pie, the second one, and we auctioned off the first one this morning at 8:30, and Gary's going to be our auctioneer for the second pie.
Hang on a minute. She said there was 3 extra. She's wrong. There's 6. We have 3 cran apple pecan with Splenda and 3 apple raisin pecan with Splenda. And they're in their first refrigerator. As you go in the kitchen from the hallway there, on the left side in that refrigerator, on the top freezer, there's extra pies. They're marked extra. And then down in the middle of the room on the left side, there's a freezer there, and there's a few extras in there, and they're marked extra. So if you want to buy one of those pies, you can pick it up and pay at the office.
Pounds of pie. And the money from the sales and the of the pies and the Uber pie today are going to the warming center that is here this year. So get out your pocketbooks and let's do something with it. All right, and what do you say? Here, give $50, let's go. $50, here, wanna go 50, 50 now, 75. $50 now, send it, mama to get 75. Here, 50 now, send it, mama to get 75. $50 now, 75. $60, 50 now, 60. $60 here, 50 now, 60 cent, I wanna go $60 where? $50 now, $60 here, 50 now, 60 cent, I wanna go 60 now, 70. 60, 70 now, 80. $80 now, 90. Not it, we're getting 90. $80 now, 90, not it, wanna get $90 here, 90, 90, say 90, 80, now 90, 90, now 100, 100, what do you want? 100 here, now 10, 10, what do I want? 10, 110, 10, what do I want? 10 here, now 20, 20, what a 20, 110, now 20, 20, what a 110, now 20, 20, what a 120, and now 30, 30, 130, now 40, 130, now 40, 40, what do you give? 130, now 40, 40, what do you give? 40, 130, now 40, 40, now 50, 150, here, what do I go? 150, now 60, 60, what do I go? 60, 60, now 70, 70, what do I get? $70 here. Now 80, 70 now, $80 here, what do I get? 70, 180 now, 90, 70 now, 80 now, 90, 90, what do I get? 190, 180 now, 90, 90, what do I get? 190 here, what do I get? 80 now, 90, 90, what do I get? 180 now, 90. 180, now 90, now 200. 2, what a 200, now 10, 10, what a 210. 200 here, now 10, 10, what a 210, 10, what a 210. 200 now, 10, 10, what a 210, 10, what a 210. 200 now, 10. Sold it, $200, Paul Wolf. And you beat first service by quite a bit. First service only sold for $120 today, and that's unusual, so. Oh, okay, he's bidding for Michael Reese. Reed. All right.
I was about to say, it looked like you had company, and I thought that's why Paul was going for it, was you needed pie to feed your company, but no, it's my greed, so. All right. I love that little thing we do every year in auctioning off a pie. We have such a gift in having Gary as part of the congregation to do that. I certainly could not. So we continue our time of worship by being in prayer intentionally with one another. We always want to be in prayer for one another, lift up each other before the Lord and celebrate and also sit in sorrow with one another. And so if you would like to share a joy or concern, I ask you to stand up or raise your hand, and one of our musicians will bring you a microphone so that we can all hear and we can all pray.
Hi, I'm Leo Smith, and for the past several years I've been battling prostate cancer and growing a beard for No Shave November. And this has been a very successful November for me. My cancer readings went down to zero, and I also had another test, which was a CT scan, and that showed no tumors or metastases. So I'm very thankful, and very thankful that everybody's been praying for me for the past several years.
That's wonderful news.
I forgot to say one thing. Men, go get a PSA test.
Thank you for sharing that good news.
I'm Linda Carver, and
it's on.
Oh, okay. I'm Linda Carver, and just a small little concern about Story Night is that we lost our donkey, and so we are looking again for some kind of small, short little animal, like a donkey or a pony or a miniature horse. Yeah. That would be fine. Or I said last service, even a dog after, if we're going to get desperate, but we're not there yet. So if you know of anybody that would have a miniature horse or a miniature dog.
I have a little contact for you.
Oh.
All right. Thank you. I knew this was going to happen.
Ask and you shall receive.
Larissa Bailey, and I just want to say thanks and a special joy to Michelle and Paul for their leadership with the youth praise band, because it's been so neat to see how they've come along in the last year. So thank you so much for all your leadership.
Hi, I'm Mark Christofferson, and I want to get where I can see people, but first I'm going to start off with a joy is we went out yesterday and picked up our son, Justin, at the Iowa State game. He's in the marching band, and we sat in the very top row of Jack Trice Stadium and got the wave to our son on the field and got him the wave back, and now he's home for Thanksgiving, so that's our joy. And the next one is a really tough one. A lot of you have heard about a woman named Jordan Burroughs, who was murdered by her boyfriend. It came out Thursday night in the newspaper and online. We know her as Jordan Murphy because our son Trevor and her daughter are good friends. Mm. She goes to Central. They're not only good friends, but they share a best friend named Sarah. And when Jada found out her mother had been murdered, she called Sarah, who's 17, to come by her side because Jada never knew her dad. And Sarah's kind of all she had. Now, Trevor's best friends with her. We know Sarah's family well, and we have talked with them. Trevor went to school Friday and said everybody was in shock. So the ramifications of what happened are spreading immensely, especially to the kids. And it makes me try to figure it out with them, try to explain it to them, but I'm so mad that they have to deal with this. And it's in their world now. And as Sarah's dad said, Jada will always be the girl whose mother was murdered by someone she trusted. Someone else deeply affected by this is Michael Reese. He is the choir director at Central. Jada has been in choir for 4 years. She is in show choir with him. And he is coming back from Allstate and gonna walk into school tomorrow with a lot of kids that have no idea what's going on. And unfortunately, as adults, we have no idea either. And especially with the kids here today that are only slightly younger than the ones now dealing with this. I guess pray for everybody. Pray for a better world. And thank you.
Hi, I'm Marilyn Cox, and I finally got a date to get my heart procedure done. So hopefully I can start breathing a little better. And that is December the 5th, so keep me in your prayers.
Let's gather together these prayers before the Lord. Have a moment of silence. I'll offer a prayer, and then we'll join together in the Lord's Prayer as printed in our bulletin and on the screen. How long, O Lord, how long must we wait to see your kingdom come to fruition? How long must we live with violence and domestic violence? Those that are betrayed and hurt and killed by the people they love most. Lord, we pray for your healing upon this family, that they may feel your presence even in the darkness of this time. For the high schooler and for the high school who are trying to make sense of something that we as adults don't understand and can't figure out. All we can ask is, how long must we live like this? How long until we see your kingdom come? And how can we better love one another in the midst of such a violent and cruel world? We ask for your help for words to speak love and kindness and new ways of living to one another. Words that build life and hope. Teaching our children and our grandchildren a better way to be, how to spread love, and how to care in kind and compassionate ways for those that we love most, to spot the signs of violence and to stop it in its tracks. We are waiting on you, O Lord. We lift up to you this violence that has affected our community and other pains and difficulties and traumas, things too heavy for us to carry alone. As we prepare for Thanksgiving and we reflect on the manifold blessings that you have offered to us, we thank you for the ways that you have cared for us and loved us. We ask that you help inspire us to give back to others. And we lift up especially to you those who will be having a difficult time this Thanksgiving. Those that will not be with the people that they love. Those who are finding it hard to count their blessings. We lift all these burdens to you, God. And we lift our joys and our celebrations and our gladness. And we know that when we bring these things to you, you make the burden lighter. We pray in the name of your Son, your presence here on earth, your love incarnate. We pray in his name, and we pray the prayer that he taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Our first scripture reading for today comes from the book, The Acts of the Apostles. It's the first book in the Bible after the Gospels, so it tells kind of the rest of the story. After Jesus' death and resurrection, and he spent time with his disciples, it talks about the starting of a new church. And so we're right here at the very beginning of Acts, and Jesus is still with his disciples, and we're going to read the portion where Jesus leaves his disciples, and he gives them an assignment. So I want you to pay attention to the assignment that he leaves them, and I would say he leaves us as well as a church 2,000 years later. So when they had come together, which is the disciples, they asked Jesus, Lord, is this the time when you will restore the kingdom of Israel? Jesus replied, It is not for you to know the times or periods that the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judah and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. When he had said this, as they were watching, Jesus was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. While he was going and they were gazing toward heaven, suddenly two men in white robes stood by them. They said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking toward heaven? This Jesus who has been taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way you saw him go into heaven." Then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day journey away. This is God's word for God's people. Thanks be to God.
As we prepare for the sermon, we invite you to sing with us. To even understand what they are. We feel lost, adrift, in a world that no longer speaks our language. We need your help, O Lord, to adapt to a changing culture. We cannot reach the least, the lost, and the lonely without your aid. Give us tools to witness to our faith in a world that is no longer listening. Amen.
I want to share our gospel reading this morning from the Gospel of John. It's picking up the same type of a theme as Pastor Heather shared. After Jesus' death and resurrection on the cross, or resurrection from the grave, he appeared to those disciples recorded in the first chapter of Luke. In the first chapter of Acts. I want to back up a little bit in the Gospel of John. And there read another Easter account, a story where Jesus is with those disciples in the upper room. It's the first day of the week. It's that Easter day. He has risen. They've experienced his death, all the tragedy, the sadness, the horror of that moment. And now, amazingly, he's alive, and he appears to them. But what I want you to hear now is how he tries to assure them of his peace, but also he sends them out to continue his mission. And he also talks about, again, God's Holy Spirit. So I want you to listen for those as I read. This is the Gospel of John, chapter 20, verses 19 through 23. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained. Well, this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Well, this morning I want to tell you about my favorite tie right here. This tie is special for two reasons, and there's a close-up of it so that you can see there on the picture. It's a favorite tie for me for two reasons. Number one, it was a gift given to me by someone who I love. My daughter, Jessie, was traveling in Scotland and found this tie and brought it back for me. So it's a gift for me. The second thing, it also says something about my identity. Because if you're familiar with Scotland, one of the things in Scotland, they have what they call like tartans, which are the various patterns which they weave the woolen cloth into, you know, patterns that like every family will have a unique tartan, a pattern for their family, for their kilts or the things that way. And sometimes even cities will have a special tartan, a pattern, colors, a plaid. Colleges, universities, sometimes events, regions, but they mean something. And this particular pattern is a clergy pattern. I think it's the only one for a profession, but this is a clergy tartan, this blue color. And so this is one of my favorite ties because it's, first of all, it's a gift, but secondly, it says something about my identity, who I am as a pastor, as a clergy. So today we're thinking our fifth sermon series about following Jesus with Mr. Rogers. And thinking about how a witness, I mean, one of the five vows that we take when we join the church are to uphold the church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness. For the last 5 weeks, we've been looking at each one of those as a way to emphasize how we become stronger as disciples of Jesus. And today it's about witness. The other thing we've been remembering those last 5 weeks is how Mr. Rogers was a great example of a mature Christian disciple. And also how Mr. Rogers was all about caring for children. And that's the other emphasis that we have as a church, that we want to grow and how we develop disciples of Jesus Christ, but also we want to get better at serving the children in our community, in our neighborhoods, and where we live. So today it's about witness and how specifically we can learn about being a witness, which is receiving a gift from God, which shapes our identity. And to look what the scriptures say, but then also how Mr. Rogers was an example for us. So with that, would you pray with me? Gracious God, we thank you for the good news that we have in Jesus, for the hope that you give to us no matter what. We pray that your Holy Spirit now would continue to move among us, inspire us, encourage us, give us what we need so that we can go out into this world with the gift of your love and truly be a witness for you. We pray this now as we seek your Spirit to move among us in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Okay, so thinking today about witness, the scripture reading that Pastor Heather shared with us, you might have heard, Jesus, the resurrected Jesus, before he ascended to heaven, one of the last things he told the disciples is that, wait here until the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and when he does, you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, where they were at the time, in Judea, which is like the region surrounding where they were, in Samaria, which was like the next region, to the ends of the world. Now, let's think about what we mean when we talk about a witness. You might have seen on the news this week a lot of about witnesses in procedures and hearings in government. A witness is simply somebody who not only says something, but they have seen something. When you witness something, you experience it. You have a firsthand knowledge of something that has happened because you were there. And so first and foremost, a witness is somebody who has seen something, they've experienced something for themselves firsthand. And so when Jesus told those apostles, those disciples, you will be my witnesses, part of what he was saying is just tell what you have experienced. The gift that you have received from God is what they have seen for themselves. The healings, the resurrection, the teachings. They had seen that for themselves. They had witnessed that. And so that's the first thing about a witness is what they have seen. Now, it also identifies who they are. As followers of Jesus, they witnessed what God had done through Jesus. And it also now determines what they're to do with that, how to go out and share that. The gospel reading that I shared out of the Gospel of John, it's a similar time frame. It's after Jesus had risen from the grave. It's like when he first was with them in that upper room. And note what he tells them. First of all, peace be with you. That he assures them that even though they've gone through maybe the darkest day they could ever imagine, that somehow God's Holy Spirit was still active, alive in their lives, and he was present with them. So they need not be afraid. His words to them, and I think that are still appropriate, peace be with you. He showed them his hands, his side, that indeed it was the risen Lord. I mean, it was the same Jesus that had been with them for the last 3 years. And he repeats it again, peace be with you. Take a deep breath and hear those words for us. But then notice what he tells them, as the Father has sent me, so now I send you. They're to continue what Jesus had been doing. The mission that Jesus had to come and save this world, to bring God's grace and healing and forgiveness, now Jesus tells his disciples that's what you're to do as well. As the Father has sent me, so now I send you. And John, the gospel writer, says, then he breathed on them. Now, in the gospel or in the ancient languages and in that ancient mindset, the word for breath and the word for spirit, both in Hebrew and Greek, are like the same word. And so in that ancient mind, you know, your breath and the spirit was like almost one and the same. So like the Greek word pneuma is the word for spirit. It's also the word for breath. So when we have pneumonia, it's a disease of our breath, of our lungs. John says Jesus breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. It was a way that John records how they were to be aware of God's very presence, God's Spirit with them. And note what then Jesus said, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained. He gives them their mission. To proclaim the news, the message that Jesus himself had come to bring. A message of repentance and forgiveness of sins. Now it's interesting as we read this, I mean, is Jesus saying that the disciples have the power to forgive sins in the name of God? Well, we can interpret that in different ways. Only God can forgive sins, but that's what God has done in Jesus. That's the grace of God that has been made known in him. That's what the disciples had witnessed and seen. And Jesus is telling the disciples now, that's the message that you're to go out and tell people. That they're forgiven. That they're loved by God just the way they are. In a word, it's a message of grace, of forgiveness, of love and acceptance. Now, it's interesting when Luke tells the story also of the resurrection. At the end of his gospel, in Luke's gospel, Jesus is giving again the commission to the disciples. He says it like this. He opened their minds. He said to them, peace be with you. This is Luke chapter 24 at verse 39 through 49. He said, peace be with you. Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. And he said, this is written that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. Very similar to what he said in the book of Acts, repentance and forgiveness of sins. That's what the disciples were told to bring that message to all nations, beginning where they were in Jerusalem. Again, that repentance means forgiveness, an acceptance, a love for other people. That's what God has done for us. The disciples were given that mission, that message of grace that they were now to take to the world. Now, isn't that how we got here? Because they did. And again, in both references, Jesus talks about it's the Holy Spirit. It's God's very presence, God's Spirit that would work in them and through them and be with them. So number one, they need not be afraid. They can accept God's peace. And number two, they'll have power simply to tell what they had experienced. I mean, the way that God works is when we accept and hear that message and believe it for ourselves, then we it's because some become something that we see, that we're loved, that we're forgiven, that we're a valued child of God. And that's a gift that shapes our identity, who we are, and enables us then to go out and share that and do the same with others. Now, isn't that the great example that we have in Mr. Rogers? That's what he did. That's who he was. He was an ordained clergy as well in the Presbyterian Church. He had a good friend of his who was another pastor who had traveled to Scotland one time when he was going through the ordination process and brought him back a special tie as well. That was his favorite tie. He wore it often. But he was shaped by his relationship with Jesus. I just read in CNN had an article yesterday about the faith of Mr. Rogers, how you can't separate the two. The message that Mr. Rogers gave to children was a message of grace, that they're loved, they're accepted, they're forgiven just the way they are. And while he didn't often talk about religion on his program, that shaped everything of who he was. And that was how he, that was his mission, his purpose, as an ordained clergy in the Church of Jesus Christ. So yesterday I did a little sermon research and I went to see the movie, A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood, at the Cinemark. First time I'd been in that theater. I didn't even know what to do. I mean, it's like reclining chairs and everything. Have you done that? It's like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. And it was an interesting story in that it was, Tom Hanks is not Mr. Rogers, but he did a good, attempt to try to make. But the point of the story is how even adults need to hear that message of grace and forgiveness, of love and acceptance. And it became clear that Mr. Rogers was motivated by prayer. He was motivated by his faith in Jesus. That was a gift that he had received that then shaped his identity. And so in many ways, we think of Mr. Rogers now as a great witness to the Christian faith, who now for generations has sent a message that really, and Mr. Rogers would even say, was the work of the Holy Spirit. He would write about that space between he and the people was holy space. And he would pray that the words that he would offer, that God would use them to shape the lives of the people who would hear it. So anybody been touched by Mr. Rogers? I mean, I really enjoyed this series and kind of learning about it. But now the challenge is, so what do we do? You know, it's actually 2003 when he passed away. It's been several years. So now it's like, so how can his influence still be carried on? I mean, we've been having fun with the sweaters and stuff. And actually, some people have been very generous. I got a Mr. Rogers mug, which the sweater will turn from blue to red if you put something hot in it. And someone else brought me in some Mr. Rogers socks, so as a way to think about Mr. Rogers. And you might know, some people might not be aware, but on television now, there's Daniel Tiger. And so Daniel Tiger is now the Mr. Rogers carry on to this next generation. And so you can see the similarities that Daniel Tiger has the red sweater and some of the storyline carries on some of those images, those thoughts about Mr. Rogers. But I guess I thought to think about how to follow his example, or I wanted to share with you one of the last videos that Mr. Rogers recorded. And it's a message just a few months before he died in 2003. But this is one where he wore his favorite tie, but he also has a message to share with us. So let's watch that video now.
know, it happens so often. I walk down the street and someone 20 or 30 or 40 years old will come up to me and say, "You are Mr. Rogers, aren't you?" And then they tell me about growing up with the neighborhood and how they're passing on to the children they know what they found to be important in our television work. Like expressing their feelings through music and art and dance and sports and drama and computers and writing, and invariably we end our little time together with a hug. I'm just so proud of all of you who have grown up with us. And I know how tough it is some days to look with hope and confidence on the months and years ahead. But I would like to tell you what I often told you when you were much younger. I like you just the way you are. And what's more, I'm so grateful to you for helping the children in your life to know that you'll do everything you can to keep them safe and to help them express their feelings in ways that will bring healing in many different neighborhoods. It's such a good feeling to know that we're lifelong friends.
Okay, so Mr. Rogers, his witness was he had received a gift from God, that he knew himself to be a child of God. And he wanted to express that. That shaped who he was. And we wanted to express that to the children of this world. And now it's our opportunity to do the same. Now, one of the challenges is we've had so much fun with Mr. Rogers in the sweater, but honestly, I'll probably never again wear a red sweater like this for a sermon. And so the challenge is how we then ourselves will be what God has called us to be. I won't wear the sweater. I'm going to keep the shoes. They were comfortable. But the thing is, all of us have received a gift of who we are as individuals. And that's a great gift that you have received from God. And when God's Holy Spirit, when you truly accept and believe that you're loved, that you're a child of God, just like Mr. Rogers told so many kids, the disciples would have shared one after another. When you believe that, then you've received a great gift that shapes your identity. And you then become a witness that you can share with others simply what you know to be true about yourself. And then when you go out into the world and you interact with other people to see them, if you treat them like a child of God and listen to them and value them and think, well, I wonder what this person, you know, how God has been active in their life, you will give to them a great gift. And then in doing that, they will also know of God's love. God's Spirit can work through you. And that'll be a part of your witness, to listen to them, learn about them, and then be available just to tell what you know about what God has done for you. Our challenge now in this world that desperately needs it is to be a witness for Jesus. And a witness isn't so much about what you say. It's about who you are and what God has done for you. Would you pray with me? Loving God, we thank you for the gift that you've given to us in Jesus, for the examples like Mr. Rogers and the disciples and others who first of all received that gift, that it shaped their identity, and then they were simply willing to tell what had happened to them. Dear God, help us to know your love today and then be able to see your presence in all the people that we meet, to express to them how special they are as well, to love them as you have loved us, to forgive them as you have forgiven us. And in so doing, your Spirit to work through this church, to bring your healing, your hope here in Bettendorf and the Quad Cities and Iowa and our nation to the ends of the earth. May we be your witnesses today. Amen. Well, as a way to share in the ministry of this church, we're going to receive our tithes and offerings. You might note we still have our church up here for any of those that are have their estimate of givings for 2020. You can always put those in the church for the next few weeks, and we'll be receiving them as well. So let's receive now our tithes and our offerings.
As a kid, I was sure I could run across the ocean that I was gonna be an astronaut. It was you and it was me. I had everything I needed. Faith could even move a mountaintop. And then I grew up, and then I got older, and my life got tough, and we grew apart. I wanna go back to Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me, for the Bible tells me so. I wanna go back to this little light, gonna let it shine, gonna let it shine. Just happy that they lived next door. It was you, it was me. I had everything I needed. Your hands are big enough to hold the world. And then I grew up, and then I got older, and my life got tough, and we grew apart. I wanna go back to Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me.
Amen. Caleb, that was powerful. Caleb, and Leah, thank you for that. You know, what a great reminder about just even the messages that we learn even as children. Shape us. They are gifts that we receive of God's love and grace, but they shape our identity for the rest of our lives and can provide hope and strength and healing even in the darkest of days. And so I invite you to stand and receive now these words of benediction, these blessings. God has given us a task to be his followers, his disciples, to support the church, his mission, his work by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness. And by the power of God's Holy Spirit, he enables us to do just that very thing. And so now, can I get a witness?
Amen.
Can I? Thank you.
Amen.
Amen. That was my intro to the song, too. Listen to the song as well. And can I get a witness that God loves you and has a path, a mission for us? Can I get a witness? And it's you. God, now the blessing of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit go with you now and always. Amen.
All right, so after our sermon on witness, we now have a song about witness. So we invite you to sing with us.
I was blinded, you gave me eyes to see. I was going under, you reached out to me. No, there's nothing you won't do to pick me up and pull me through every hour, 8 days a week, yeah. Your love is like a fountain, it'll never run dry, it'll never run dry. Your love is moving mountains every day. such grace. Come on now, can I get a witness, somebody in this place? Come on now, can I get a witness, so much love, so much grace. Come on now, can I get a witness, somebody in this place? Come on now.
Peace, everyone. Have a great week.